I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is March 23rd, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's essay by Albert Mohler, entitled The President, the Pill, and Religious Liberty in Peril. He begins, in 1808, President Thomas Jefferson stated the matter bluntly, "I consider the government of the United States as interdicted by the Constitution from intermeddling with religious institutions, their doctrines, discipline, or exercises." End of quote. Mohler continues, "Fast forward 204 years, and President Barack Obama has reversed that logic, ordering religious institutions to provide insurance coverage for employees that must include contraceptives, including those that may induce an abortion." Al, let me help you out. You don't have complete freedom of religion. Only freedom to practice your religion in a manner that doesn't infringe upon or hurt your fellow citizens. Here's a list of some of the religious freedoms supported by your Bible but prohibited by our more civilized society: slavery, stoning people to death, capital punishment for adultery, blasphemy, atheism, working on the Sabbath, homosexuality, and a host of other misdemeanors. In other words, Al, your religious freedom to hurt others, as in this case, where you want to deny medical care to employees, is prevented by the morals of a modern society. Al continues, "Secretary Kathleen Sebelius of the Department of Health and Human Services made the announcement stating, "Today the department is announcing that the final rule on preventative health services will ensure that women with health insurance coverage will have access to the full range of the Institute of Medicine's recommended preventative services, including all FDA-approved forms of contraception." See, Al? Time marches on. The morals passed down by ancient, ignorant, violent goat herders is being overruled by modern society. His essay continues, "The ruling had been much anticipated as a consequence of President Obama's health care reform. The new law required the administration to determine what elements would be included in the mandated coverage. The administration first determined that the preventative care provision would include coverage of contraceptives. The second step was determining that this coverage would include, as Secretary Sebelius restated it, all FDA-approved forms of contraception. These include drugs known as Plan B, which is taken after the possibility of fertilization, thus functioning as an inducer of abortion. The plans must also provide sterilization procedures for women without deductibles or copayments. The final step in the process was the decision to require all employers to provide this coverage, including church-affiliated institutions and organizations. The only exemption is offered to churches and religious bodies that neither employ nor serve any significant number of people who do not share their faith." Al, that exemption allows ghost worshipers to discriminate against other ghost worshipers because they are women, which is one of the main purposes of your religion, the subjugation of women. But what has your undies all knotted up in your crack is the fact that you are being prevented from forcing your ancient, ignorant practices on others. He wrote, as one church leader commented, "This would not allow an exemption even for the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, who minister to those outside the faith." Al, if anyone in history could be described as supporting socialized medicine, it would be Jesus. It's sad that his present-day disciples ignore virtually all of his teachings, from praying in private to helping the poor, the sick, and the aged. In fact, the least Christian people you will find anywhere on this planet always turn out to be Christians. My proof? Just look in the mirror, Al. He continues, "Nonetheless, Secretary Sebelius had the temerity to claim in her statement, 'This decision was made after very careful consideration, including the important concerns some have raised about religious liberty. I believe this proposal strikes the appropriate balance between respecting religious freedom and increasing access to important preventative services.' The administration remains fully committed to its partnerships with faith-based organizations which promote health communities and serve the common good. In actuality, the Obama administration trampled religious liberty under the feet of the Leviathan state." Al, as I already pointed out, modern humans have been trashing your violent liberties for centuries now. And for you, it is only going to get worse as societies throw off the superstition of ghost worship and begin treating people more humanely. And the biggest horror for you people is that women will be full partners in that society. I know that has got to be killing you, Al. He wrote, "Forcing religious employers to do what conscience will not allow." Al, the same could have been said for the KKK. They too were forced against their conscience to halt their evil activities. By the way, Al, you should Google the KKK. On Wikipedia, it lists the KKK's religious affiliation. Know what it is, Al? Protestantism. And their symbol, the cross, that was Jesus' cross. He continues, "Religious organizations such as schools, colleges, and hospitals will be required to pay for services that they believe to be immoral and disobedient to God." Al, you are assuming that everyone at those schools, colleges, and hospitals are as bigoted as you are. It's more likely that they are decent Americans who don't use their religion to force others to comply with their beliefs. In other words, Al, most Christians are far more human and Jesus-like than you are. Al wrote, "In a final insult, the administration allowed that religious employers could, if qualified, have an extra year to comply with the decision." Al, so by granting extra time for compliance, in your twisted little mind, that's an insult? He wrote, "As Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah made clear, this intentionally evades the point." And now he quotes Hatch. "The problem is not that religious institutions do not have enough time to comply, it's that they are forced to comply at all." Al, you just found another Christian as bigoted and narrow-minded as yourself. That makes two. Al wrote, "Roman Catholic authorities were among the first to respond with outrage." Gee, what a surprise, Al. Even the vast majority of Catholics ignore the church on the issue of contraception. They can't even convince their own followers to accept their dogmatic birth control nonsense. He wrote, "Archbishop Timothy Dolan of New York City, who had personally made the case to President Obama for a broader exemption, said, 'We are unable to live with this.'" Finally, Al, a ray of hope. It sounds like they are considering a mass suicide. Boy, what a better world this would be if only that were true. Al continues, "This last Sunday, Catholics around the nation heard letters from their local bishops with the same message. The Bishop of Marquette, for example, put the matter with severe simplicity by saying, 'We cannot, we will not comply with this unjust law.'" Al, that sums it up perfectly. Ghost worshipers are the least patriotic people in America, and the bishop's statement just proved it. They consider themselves above the law because they claim to answer to a higher one. He wrote, "In other words, the nation's Roman Catholic bishops have signaled their clear intention to defy the law rather than to violate their conscience. Will evangelical Christians demonstrate the same courage and conviction?" Al, what you call courage and conviction, the rest of us call criminal activity. In a modern society governed by law, you don't get to choose which laws you like and will obey. All citizens are legally bound to obey all laws, and there are penalties for those who don't. Now Al writes, "The Roman Catholic Church teaches against the use of any artificial birth control. and considers these to be assaults upon the dignity of all human life. Al, that's rich coming from an organization that for 2,000 years has itself been the greatest assault upon the dignity of human life that the world has ever seen. He wrote, "In more recent years, evangelicals have had to rethink the contraception issue. At the very least, the issue of abortion has required evangelicals to realize that any form of birth control is a matter of great moral significance and thus of moral conscience. The inclusion of Plan B and other forms of emergency contraception raises the stakes considerably, since the issue of abortion is now unavoidable. Will evangelical colleges and institutions now comply with a law we know to be both unjust and unconscionable?" Al, you people said the same thing about slavery only 150 years ago. He wrote, "The National Association of Evangelicals made a statement that described the situation well, but promised no particular action. Employers with religious objections to contraception will be forced to pay for services and procedures they believe are morally wrong." Al, you're not being honest. You know as well as I that it is the insurance companies who are going to pay. You are intentionally hiding that fact from your audience in order to push your religious views. Al wrote, "The Obama administration knew exactly what it was doing. It had received no shortage of advice on this question, and advocates for a broader exemption were vocal even within the administration. Members of the president's own party shared the disappointment in the decision. Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania lamented the administration's bad decision." Al, actually, most Democrats were unhappy because the bill did not go far enough. The Republicans watered it down, but Democrats had to go along in order to get Republican support. Al continues, "Others wondered aloud why President Obama had, in the words of Washington Post columnist E.J. Dionne, thrown those with religious objections under the bus. The editors of that paper made their own disappointment clear as well by stating, the best approach would have been for HHS to stick to its original conclusion that contraception coverage should generally be required, but to expand the scope of its proposed exemption for religiously affiliated employers who claim covering contraception would violate their religious views. The administration's feint at a compromise, giving such employers another year to figure out how to comply with the requirement, is unproductive can-kicking that fails to address the fundamental problem of requiring religiously affiliated entities to spend their own money in a way that contradicts the tenets of their faith." Al, it's the tenets of their faith that need to change, not health coverage for women. He wrote, "Every president faces decisions that test his character and principles. President Obama has failed this test, and the results will be tragic. He has trampled religious liberty underfoot and has announced his intention to force religious institutions to violate their conscience or go out of business." No, Al, this does not force them out of business. They simply must learn to join the 21st century, just like ghost-worshipping slave owners in the Bible Belt had to join the 19th century after the Civil War. Modern society is dragging you people, kicking and screaming, out of the Middle Ages. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, but as this essay proves, it's still a long way off. He wrote, "This decision will lead to nothing less than the secularization of the good work undertaken by these religious institutions." See, Al? There's one huge advantage right there. He wrote, "Faith-based adoption agencies, hospitals, and educational institutions are being forced to secularize or cease operations already." Al, Catholics have already secularized. Over 90% of them already ignore the church and use contraception. Al wrote, "This decision will add tragic momentum to that process. Religious organizations are being told to comply with the government's order or face the consequences." Al, that's pretty much how a law works. He wrote, "A Roman Catholic college in North Carolina has challenged the Obama administration in court, an action now also taken by Colorado Christian University, an evangelical college. concerted calls for a legislative rescue from Congress are being made. See, Al, you don't have to give up hope just yet. What do you people call that? A Hail Mary? He wrote, and yet the decision of the Obama administration is clear. The edict from President Obama to religious institutions is this. Damn, Al, you are one dishonest little ghost worshiper. You purposely chose the word edict, figuring no one would actually look it up. Well, I did. Obamacare was a law passed by Congress, not a presidential edict. Don't you people have a commandment against lying? And Al concludes by saying, violate conscience and bend the knee to the government, or face the consequences. We will soon learn just how much faith is left in faith-based institutions. Al, the way society is changing, a better question might be, how much longer will we be forced to support faith-based institutions? How much longer will the government violate the First Amendment to appease the powerful religious right by using our taxes to pay for your church attendance? See, Al, you aren't the only one complaining about money being taken and used against someone's conscience. But you don't have a problem with that when you're on the receiving end, do you? What a hypocrite. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, banded mongooses structure monosyllabic sounds in a similar way to humans. Animals are more eloquent than previously assumed. Even the monosyllabic call of the banded mongoose is structured and thus comparable with the vowel and consonant system of human speech. When humans speak, they structure individual syllables with the aid of vowels and consonants. Due to their anatomy, animals can only produce a limited number of distinguishable sounds and calls. Complex animal sound expressions, such as whale and bird songs, are formed because smaller sound units, or phonocodes, are repeatedly combined into new arrangements. However, it was previously assumed that monosyllabic sound expressions, such as contact or alarm calls, do not have any combinational structures. Researchers have now proved that the monosyllabic calls of banded mongooses are structured and contain different information. The research was conducted on wild banded mongooses at a research station in Uganda. For their study, the scientists used a combination of detailed behavioral observations, recordings of calls, and acoustic analysis of contact calls. Such a call lasts for between 50 and 150 milliseconds and can be construed as a single syllable. Despite their brevity, the monosyllabic calls of banded mongooses exhibit several temporally segregated vocal signatures. The initial sound of the call provides information on the identity of the animal calling. The second, more tonal part of the call, which is similar to a vowel, however, indicates the caller's current activity. The researchers are convinced that the banded mongoose is not the only animal species that is capable to structure syllables. They assume that the phenomenon was overlooked in scientific studies thus far. For instance, they point out that frogs and bats also structure single syllables. Banded mongooses live in the savanna region south of the Sahara. They are small predators that live in social communities and are related to the meerkat. Banded mongoose groups each comprise around 20 adult animals. The group looks after the young animals, defends its territory jointly, and forages as a unit. As soon as the young go foraging with the group, they enter into an exclusive one-on-one relationship with an adult animal, an escort. The young recognize their escort based on its call and are able to distinguish it from the other group members. Banded mongooses have a wide range of sounds and coordinate their activities by this means, which enables them to maintain group cohesion. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Joseph Rinn, R-I-N-N, and I was unable to locate any information on Joseph Rinn. Here is the quote from Joseph Rinn. When a man eminent in science tells us of something in his particular sphere into which no fraud can intrude, and which can be verified under scientific conditions, he is entitled to a respectful hearing. But if he states that on a particular night his cow jumped over the post office, his testimony on that point is no more valid than the testimony of other persons. The mere fact that a man is noted in his particular field of research, astronomy, physics, or mathematics, should not be considered as presumptive evidence of his ability to see correctly things outside his experience.
Are you ready, Bruce?